Good evening. I wonder if you might open your Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 11. The Acts of the Holy Spirit, chapter 11. And I would like to begin reading at verse 19. We're interrupting Luke's narrative here for the sake of time. But he is leaving one story and going back to another, and that is right after the stoning of Stephen. Stephen, you remember, is the first martyr of this newly formed Christian church. And his stoning came about as a result of a great deal of persecution brought about by the Jews who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And they thought they were done at that point, but they discovered that this little band of disciples was continuing on even after he was dead. And they went about stamping out his memory by trying to stamp out his disciples. And so once the first martyr died, the persecution began to snowball. And so it resulted in what was called a dispersion of the church. The Lord Jesus, you remember, before he went back to heaven, told the disciples that they were to start at Jerusalem and then go to Samaria and then to go to Judea and then to Samaria and then to the greater parts of the world. Because of fear and other reasons, they had gotten quite comfortable in Jerusalem. And the death of Stephen changed that. And that's one of the things that I'd like to go back to. Keep that in your mind. Sometimes the way the Lord works is rather mysterious in the spread of the gospel. So the dispersion scattered the church in Jerusalem because of such persecution. And as part of that dispersion, we pick up in chapter 11 of Luke's account and verse 19. Now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, declaring the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit, and full of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him back unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. and the disciples were called Christ-like ones first in Antioch. And in these days, prophets from Jerusalem, unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified through the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each of them, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders through the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me now both Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they let them go. Chapter 14 and verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God and to the work which they fulfilled. And when they had come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And we'll stop there for the moment. the beginning of the missionary work of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. It came after, as we were reading in chapter 11, the Christians in Jerusalem had heard of much blessing in Antioch. Remember, everything was new. There were no guidelines, there were no books to go to for reference. The disciples were feeling their way around, to say the least. Throughout the Lord's 3 odd years of ministry on this earth, he had over and over again told them that he had come to the house of Israel, but they were to ignore the Gentiles and even the Samaritans. But things had changed now. Israel had officially rejected him. And so he had come, as was always intended, to the whole world. But still, this was new and unusual for people who had been brought up for generations upon generations upon generations upon generations to be separate from the world. And now they were to be embracing Gentiles and Samaritans. So when they heard of what was going on in Antioch, they sent up Barnabas. A really beautiful picture of the sovereign working of God. If he had chosen one of us, we probably would have gone up and yelled at the preachers for opening their mouths to the Gentiles. It hadn't been heard of. But that's not what Barnabas did. When he got to Antioch and saw what the Lord had done, he was glad. And after a while, he went to Tarsus because Paul had been driven away, the threat on his life, and got Paul and brought him back to Antioch, and they worked there a while. And that brings us to chapter 13. This morning we were saying that perhaps Corinth was the first of the super churches, but Antioch wasn't far behind. God was indeed doing great things in Antioch. And there was an abundance of talent. When it came to the gifts of prophecy and the gifts of teaching. There's some very instructive lessons here in just a couple of verses to those who have the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching. Because the men at Antioch were not misusing their gift. And the way they kept themselves certain of the fact that they were not misusing or abusing their gift was that as they ministered unto the Lord, they fasted and prayed. And that's what kept them on track, so to speak. You notice they were ministering unto the Lord. No matter what gift God has given to us, and every one of us has at least one, in seed form, that we need to nurture and develop for the edification of the body. When we minister that gift, we don't minister that gift to the Lord's people. Oh, wait a minute. As they publicly ministered, well, they were, no, to the Lord. That's another and very important tip when it comes to using your gift. It's never for people, it's for the Lord. The Lord uses it to edify people. But your ministry is not to people. It's to the Lord. If it's the people, you quit quick. Because as glorious a body of believers we shall be when we get to heaven, and as beautiful a bride as we shall one day make, it seems as if we're far from it now. And those that would minister to the Lord's people quickly get discouraged. They ministered to the Lord. But they were also involved in this prayer and fasting. Fasting, that's an interesting subject, isn't it? Usually it's on the list along with the questions, what about dancing? Why can't we dance? And why can't we go here on Saturday nights and this and that, you know. Mainly it's in that category because the Pharisees in the Lord's day, they did a pretty good job of messing up when it came to fasting. As far as they were concerned, they were fasting for the public's appreciation. They were doing it not for any spiritual benefit for themselves. They were doing it for the approval of men. And fasting can come that way. It's very easy to fall into the trap. To fast so that people think you're spiritual. And so we have to be very careful with fasting, and it's not given as an instruction anywhere in Scripture, but it is used by New Testament people. What it seems to mean is, when you pray and fast, you're making a sacrifice for whatever it is you're praying for. You are serious about what you are laying hold of God for. You remember, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus one day. They had tried to cast a demon out of a person. And they had been doing quite a few miracles. And maybe they were almost feeling proud of themselves. But they couldn't cast this demon out. They couldn't cast the demon out. And they couldn't cast the demon out. The Lord has met his match. There is a demon that can stand up to him. Well, they brought the person to the Lord. And the Lord made quick work of the demon. And the disciples were feeling rather foolish. So they got the Lord aside in private and they said, why couldn't we do that? Remember what the Lord said? This type comes about only through prayer and fasting. And so it was with their public ministry. these men meant business for God. They were serious about it. And they sacrificially prayed. So that they might be drawn in line with the mind and will of God. And after having done so, the Spirit of God tells them, separate out for me, Barnabas and Saul. I have a work for them to do, and I want them to be about it. I would imagine that Barnabas and Saul might have continued on in Antioch if it hadn't been for much prayer and fasting. It's serious business with God. We don't read the words here, but we did read the words over in chapter 14 when they returned for their missionary report. We read that they were commended to God. There's two types of condemnation I'd like to consider with you here tonight. One of them is this one, and the word is in verse 26 of chapter 14, they returned to Antioch from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. Recommended. In the original language, it means to surrender. Not in the sense that we usually use the word surrender. I give up. I quit. But to surrender over to someone else. You have a sock and it's filled with pennies. And you dearly love those pennies. You keep the sock under your pillow so you can dream of pennies at night. But then somebody tells you that if you give your pennies to the man at the bank and let him keep your pennies, someday he'll give you back your pennies and more pennies. And so as precious as those pennies are to you, the thought of maybe getting more causes you to go to the bank and yield, surrender your pennies to the man at the bank. Because he can take much better care of your pennies than you can, as hard as that is to believe. Well, that's what the church at Antioch did with Barnabas and Saul. They surrendered them to the Lord. And when they had fasted and prayed again, gee, enough of the prayer already, huh? They let him go. When it comes to this type of commendation, it needs to be done with much prayer and fasting. You know why? What do we read happened to Paul? In Lystra. Chapter 14, verse 19, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium persuaded the people at Lystra to stone Paul. Well, wait a minute, Lord, we gave him to you for keeping. No, you didn't. You surrendered them to me. You didn't turn them over so that I would protect them from all harm and good. You completely surrendered them to me, so that I, as sovereign Lord and Master, could do whatever I pleased with them. Oh, but having him stoned, Lord? If we had known that, well, I suspect they did, because they commended him to the grace of God after much prayer and fasting. A few years back, five young men were heartily commended to the grace of God by their elders and by their assembly. To the work of God in Ecuador. And you know what his sovereign will was for them? That they lay down their lives. Commendation to the grace of God is nothing to be taken lightly. Because you say, God, they're yours. God's ways are not our ways. But for a door to be opened to the Alca Indians, savages in the jungle, worthy of heaven? As far as God, their Creator, was concerned, they were. And so a door could be opened to them that they might taste of the grace of God. His design was that those five young men lay down their lives. How do you think their elders felt? How do you think the assemblies back home felt? If they had just written out a letter and sent them merrily on their way, imagine the heart-wrenching would be taking place now. Boy, did we make a mistake. But they had done much prayer and fasting. They were convinced that the Spirit of God had called them, that it was a work for eternity, that the sovereign God of the universe was still in total control. And they surrendered them up and let them go. There's another type of commendation here. We read about it in chapter 14 as well. Paul and Barnabas head for home. And boy, they took a route you wouldn't have been able to pay me to take. They not only went back to the place where Paul was stoned, they went back to the two cities from whence the Jews came and had stoned him. Why? To confirm, to strengthen again, to further support the Christians there. and to remind them that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And when they got back to Antioch, they rehearsed everything that they had accomplished, the churches they had built, the work that they had done. Rehearsed all that God had done and how He had opened the door to the Gentiles. Serious business. Commendation. Subject closed. Next subject. We didn't read anything in this, all those verses that we did read. Anything about commendation being connected with financial support. We don't have to support them. We just got to write a letter. So let's do it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make good the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my authority in the gospel. Third John chapter 1. Ha. Beloved, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, support them along after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may be fellow helpers in the truth. God is still a sovereign God. God is still a God of miracles. God is still able to feed His servants like He fed Elijah at the brook Cherith, having flesh-eating birds bring flesh to Him instead of eating it themselves. But He does not choose to operate that way normally in this dispensation. God uses human beings instead of birds, flighty as some may be, to minister to those who have, for his name's sake, gone forth. Because he does not want it to appear that they are trying to convert people so that they can get their money. They take nothing of the Gentiles. Remember Abraham? After that great battle, he won it all. And the king of Sodom thought he could cut himself in on it, because there was a lot of loot. Abraham said to him, I won't take a shoestring, because I don't want you to ever say that you made me rich. In addition to that, when they go to the assembly, a worker can't arrive and say to them, I'm here to teach you what's right, pay me. He's justified in doing that, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. But he says, I can't do it. Imagine, the church at Chambersburg thinks that we need help. So they send out a worker to us to help us out, to teach us. And they tell us to support them. How would that go over here? So where does he get his support? Well, if we believe through much prayer and fasting that God has called them from us to do his work, we have the privilege of being the first in line. If we don't do it, God's children will not go begging. They'll be supported. But if we are truly serious about this, we should be first in line. Because, you remember, David came back from the great battle, and he went to split up the spoils, and the soldiers, all sweaty and bloody from fighting, said to David, what are you giving the people that stayed behind and didn't fight? Why are you giving them the same you're giving us? Because they stayed by the stuff. And we are very quick to lay claim to any reward of the worker. He might accomplish for eternity. Have to realize that if we are part of this work, it's not simply by a little prayer. It should be by prayer, serious prayer, even if we don't fast, serious prayer, sacrificial prayer, and financial support. Because if we are committing someone to the grace of God, for the work of God, we need to understand that we are doing that because we are sure that the Spirit of God has called them, and the Spirit of God has a job for them to do. The elders of this assembly have suggested to this assembly that we commend to the grace of God, Shelley. As elders, having made that decision, we stand ready to take responsibility for it. commendation will mean little if it isn't a commendation of the assembly of believers at Greenwood Hills. But we can't forget what it means. And we have to be sure before God. And being sure, we surrender her up to the grace of God and to His keeping. We really wouldn't want her anywhere else. May it be so for His name's sake. Father, we thank Thee that Thou art sovereign over all. That Thou hast a heart of love that is infinite. That Thy wisdom is as infinite as well. That Thy resources are just as infinite. And so, Father, to a God such as Thee, we would commend Shelley and Dave as they return to the Philippines. We thank Thee, Father, that we are able to do so. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast called them to a work that will last for all eternity. We pray, Father, that we would be faithful in serious, prayerful support of them, as well as each saint, as best as they are able. To the support of Thy work beyond these borders. We thank Thee, Father, that we are able to sing from the bottom of our hearts, He leadeth me. Help us, Father, to faithfully follow.